This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ذاك العظيم في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله ذاك العظيم في علا من أبدع الكون سوى سبحان الله وبحمد الله ولا إله إلا الله من أنزل الأمطار وفجر الأنهار وأنبت الأزهار تزخرف الجبال من أنزل الأمطار
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده وحبيبه وخاتم رسله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء الأئمة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن البقية العشرة وأهل الشجرة ومن سار على نهجهم إلى يوم الدين عباد الله اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم My brothers and my dear sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته I make Allah my witness That I stand before you and I say to you that I do love you from my heart for the sake of Allah, as my brothers and my sisters in Islam. For whoever loves someone else for the sake of Allah, then they should say it to them, as the Prophet ﷺ said so. And I do love you for the sake of Allah. What a beautiful brotherhood and what a beautiful value of Islam for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say to us, love each other. And only hate each other for the sake of Allah. You don't hate each other for worldly things or because of jealousy or envy or any such causes. But rather, we do not sleep any night except that we have love for our brothers and sisters and never hate anyone at all. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I believe this topic which I'm about to present before you is a very, very important topic, a very extremely important reminder. You and I are youth, and we all have parents. And some of us are parents, and some of us will be parents. Some of you, O sisters, will one day, inshallah, be mothers, and some of you already are. And some of you, O brothers, are already fathers, or will be fathers. And then some of you do not have parents. And some of you have one member of their parent, even either a father or a mother. Brothers and sisters, one of the virtues and wonderful mercies of Islam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the greatest right after the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right of the parents. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Him to be merciful towards us on the Day of Judgment, for Him to be pleased with us on the Day of Judgment, for Him to make us into paradise when we have done our good deeds, is only when our parents are also pleased with us. So the mercy of Allah cannot reach us, brothers and sisters, without the pleasure of our parents upon us. When our father or mother say to us, Allah yirda alayk, may Allah be pleased with you, son, or may Allah be pleased with you, O daughter, and you die with them being pleased with you, and you have already obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given Him His rights, then there is nothing between you and heaven. There is nothing between you and paradise to enter. With the first group that enters Jannah, and you will not be delayed whatsoever. I bring this topic because many of our brothers and sisters do not know the values and virtues and rights of their parents. The greatest right immediately after Allah's right are the parents, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran all the time, when He talks about His rights, He follows it up with talking about the rights of the parents. وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وبالوالدين إحسانا. And worship Allah and do not make any partners with Him. And be good towards your parents. أنشكر لي ولوالديك. That you must thank me and thank your parents. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. And your Lord has decreed and commanded that you worship none other but Him and be dutiful towards your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always follows up in the same verse when He talks about His right, the rights of the parents. As though the worship of Allah can never be complete until the gratitude towards the parents has been met. And one of the greatest and most amazing hadiths which intrigued me is the hadith of Amr ibn Murrah al-Juhani, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who said, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, a messenger of Allah, Shahidu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of being worshipped except for Allah, and that you are the messenger of Allah. وَصَلَّيْتُ الْخَمْسِ And I prayed my five prayers. وَأَدَّيْتُ زَكَاةَ مَالِي And I produced the zakat of my wealth. وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانِ And I fasted the month of Ramadan. وَحَجَّيْتُ الْبَيْتِ And I performed the hajj to the house of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to that, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى هَذَا كَانَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ هَكَذَا مَا لَمْ يَعَقَّ وَالِدَيْهِ Whoever dies on these aspects, these characters, he will be gathered on the Day of Judgment with the Prophets and the Siddiqeen, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the martyrs of Islam on the Day of Judgment, هكذا, like these two fingers, he said, together. So long as he or she does not disobey their parents. This is a sahih hadith in Ahmad and al-Tabarani. So if you did all the things which Allah commanded you to do, and the best of those are the compulsory things, if you did all of them, you will not enter Jannah until you have pleased your parents. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, رِضَ اللَّهُ بِرِضَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ For Allah to be pleased with you, it is when your parents are also pleased with you. The Prophet ﷺ once was climbing up onto the minbar where he delivers the sermon on Friday. And then the companions heard him say, Ameen on the first step, and then Ameen on the second step, and then Ameen on the third step. When he finished, they asked him, why did you say those three Ameens, Ya Rasulullah? He said, in the first, Jibril came to me. And he said to me, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ Which means, may the nose of a person be rubbed in dust, in soil. My name is mentioned in front of him, and he does not say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So say, brothers and sisters, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means peace be upon him. Secondly, he said to me, may his nose be rubbed in dust. He who reaches his parents in old age, meaning he lives until his parents grow their white hairs, and their back is arched, and they are old and withered, and he still does not enter paradise. Yani he dies with his parents after all this time, they reached old age, and they were still not pleased with him, and he died, and he still does not enter paradise. Say Ameen, and he said Ameen. I do not remember the third Ameen though. The important one is that he said, may his nose be rubbed in dust, he who reaches his parents in old age and still does not enter paradise. Meaning Jibreel alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are shocked and amazed to how could it be believable that a person could live all his life until his parents grow old in age and then he dies and still doesn't enter paradise. as though when you obey your parents and look after them, it is guaranteed for you to enter Jannah. And those who do not reach Jannah even after all of that, then they are nothing but beasts, ya akhwan. They are nothing but people who do not have a heart at all. No, 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 not at all. I recite to you the verse from which in the Quran, which is the clearest verse about obedience to the parents and their rights upon us, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. Which means, and your Lord has decreed that you worship none other Lord but Him, and to treat your parents in kindness and goodness, especially when they grow old in age, then do not ever let yourself at any time or at any stage even say the single word of oof. That sign, that signal, that whisper when you say oof. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not even say oof to them. However, say a nice, kind word to them throughout your life. And lower the wing of humiliation in front of them, out of mercy towards them, and say, O my Lord, give mercy to my parents the same way they gave mercy to me when I was a child. In this verse, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all makes the worship of Him equal almost to the obedience and kindness towards your parents. So without the obedience and kindness of your parents, the worship of Allah means nothing. Secondly, Allah tells us and expresses to us that no matter how angry we get with our parents and how agitated we may get with our parents, under any circumstances whatsoever, we should never use the word "poof," which is the slightest and smallest and most inconspicuous language that any person could use or signal. That Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, and Ali radiallahu anhu say, that if Allah, that if there were to be any single word, or signal, or gesture, that is less than this word, if Allah would have mentioned it in the Quran. And therefore for a person to say, is disobedience to them, and disobedience to Allah. And then Allah says, rather than that, you must use kind words. Not only that, in the ayah Allah is telling us, humiliate yourself in front of your parents. Which means, do not try to feel or act as though you are above them and that they are below you, in any way or form or action. In fact, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ said, the way that we used to address our parents was like a slave servant person who has committed a bad act towards his master and king. He would stand in front of his master and king with his head lowered in shame out of what he has done. This is how they used to address their parents, brothers and sisters. Also, Allah says, no matter what happens, you must always put them before you. Before yourself, before your wife, before your children, and before any other being in the world, except for Allah and His Messenger. Even before yourself, brothers and sisters. And then Allah says, make dua for them, after treating them well, and obeying them, and serving them. Then also in your dua and in your prayer, throughout your life, and even after they die, supplicate and say, oh Allah, give mercy to my parents the same way they had mercy towards me when I was a child. So Allah is reminding you that you were once upon a time a baby. At a time, brothers and sisters, when you were completely dependent upon your parents, everything, Even the feces that came out of you after you ate, you were completely dependent on your mother or your father to cleanse you. Otherwise you would have received rashes. You were completely dependent upon your parents when you ate. And when you cried, they would wake up in the middle of the night, especially your mother, with their hearts pounding out of fear that you may die, or that you may get sick, or that something dramatic shall happen to you. And then she would come and breastfeed you. And for those who do not know, out of the sisters who are not mothers yet, and those of the brothers who do not know how the mothers feel when they breastfeed their children, they feel excruciating pain when the child begins to suckle from their breast. First of all, she has to train him or her, the baby, to breastfeed properly. They bite away at their breasts, and they suckle in such a manner that the mother begins to scream and cry like a baby. It is a sharp, intense pain like none other. You were once in your mother's stomach, brother or sister, and she held you in her stomach in pain and agony for 9 whole months, and then breastfed you for a long time and raised you. And your father, who was racing, waking up at night and waking up in the morning, struggling and striving to work to bring forth the wealth and the money, even to buy nappies for you, and to buy the food for you, and to take you to the doctors, and to look after you in every way possible. They did not have to, but it is because of the mercy which Allah has struck into their hearts that you would find them struggling and placing you before themselves even when they were in need. It is because of the overwhelming mercy that they have in their hearts towards you. And I recall a story of a man who came to the Prophet ﷺ and said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, my father takes my money and he is oppressing me this way." So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Call your father." So he went and called his father. And when his father came to the Prophet ﷺ, before he came, Jibreel alayhi salam came down and said to him, "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the old man of the father of this man comes to you, then ask him, what was he saying in secret inside of himself which his son could not hear?" So when the old withered man who is walking on his stick, with white hairs in his beard and his head, came to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet asked him, "Why, O man, are you taking in oppression your son's wealth?" And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, ask him, I only spend it upon his mother and his children and his brothers and sisters." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Tell me something else. I'm not interested in that. I want you to tell me what you were speaking to yourself as you were coming here, which your son could not hear in secret." And then the father looked at the Prophet ﷺ and cried. And he said to him, "I was reciting a poem in myself, singing." And he said, "غَذَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا وَعِلْتُكَ يَافِعًا تُعَلُّ بِمَا أَجْنِي عَلَيْكَ وَتَنْهِلُ إِذَا لَيْلَةٌ نَاتَتْكَ بِالسُّقْمِ لَمْ أَبِتْ بِسُقْمِكَ إِلَّا سَاهِرًا أَتَمَلَّلُ كَأَنِّي أَنَا الْمَطْرُوقُ دُونَكَ بِالَّذِي طُرِقْتَ بِهِ دُونِي فَعَيْنِي تَهْمُلُ فلما بلغت السن والغاية التي إليها مدى ما كنت فيك أؤمنه جعلت جزائي غلظة وفظاظة كأنك أنت المنعم المتفضل فليتك إذ لم ترعى حق أمومتي فعلت كما الجار المجاور يفعل." Which means, I nurtured you when you were a child, and then I supported you when you became an adolescent. When any night would pass you and visit you in sickness, I would wake up in distress, fearing that death would come upon you. And when I would look at you crying in agony of your sickness, it was as though I was being hammered away with a hammer on my head, with the same pain by looking at you which you have been hammering, or which you are feeling as you are crying in front of me. And so I would put you in front of myself. And then, as soon as you grew up to reach that age which all my life I had been hoping for you to reach, and had pride in you reaching, you rewarded me with harshness, agony, pain, and distress. And so you became selfish with your wealth against me. and treated me nothing like, except like a neighbor would treat another neighbor. When a neighbor goes past, what does he do for you? He says hello, good morning, goodbye. And that's about all you can get from a neighbor. And so you were selfish with your wealth. At that point, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked up and his beard was soaked with tears. And he took hold of the chest of the young boy. And he said to him, أَسَمِعْتَ يَا غُلَامَ أَسَمِعْتَ يَا هَذَا Have you heard what he has said? أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ You and your wealth is all for your father. You and your wealth is all for your father. The gratitude of our parents is far beyond our imagination, أيها الأحبة. And you will one day be parents and you will go through the same thing. There was a man who was in the market and the people saw his son was bashing away at him, was smacking him and hitting him and dragging him on the ground. And then the people came up to his son and began to drag him away from his father and said, what's wrong with you? Have you gone crazy? Shame on you hitting your own father. And then his father looked up, he was an old man. And he said to them, no, no, leave him. Leave my son alone, let him bash me. Wallahi, this is exactly the same place where I used to bash my father. So the Prophet ﷺ said, مِثْنَ مَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ The way you treat others in the same way, you are in the future going to be treated. If you treat your parents bad today, then Allah will punish you one day by giving you children which will do the same thing to you. At that moment, you have no one to blame except for yourself, brother or sister. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, there are three verses in the Qur'an that come together with two commandments. One commandment cannot be accepted without the other. He said, the first commandment is, أطيع الله وأطيع الرسول. Worship Allah and obey the messenger. So if you not obey the messenger, you have not worshipped Allah. If you not worship Allah, you have not obeyed the messenger. The second verse, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ Perform your prayer and give your zakat. So if you do not give your zakat, your prayer is not accepted. And if you do not pray, then your zakat is not accepted. And the third verse, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ Thank me, Allah says, and thank your parents. So if you do not thank your parents, you have not thanked Allah. One of the signs of the last hour is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there shall come a time, this is a long hadith, but I say in part which is important to us. There will come a time when the man يُطِيعُ زَوْجَتَهُ وَيَعْصِ أُمَّهُ وَيَبَرُّ صَدِيقَهُ وَيَمْنَعُ أَبَاهُ There will come a time where the man will begin to obey and serve his wife and disobey his mother. And be kind and generous to his friend and rejects his father. And this is our state today, brothers and sisters. You are generous to your friend, but to your father you are harsh and stingy. To your wife, yes, darling, your wish is my command, darling. But to your mother, why don't you just die and visit your grave mother? Get over it now. You're walking on your stick. Let me get on with my life. And this is how some men today, they go and they choose the daughter of some people. Of course she has rights. However, they put her rights above his own mother's. I'm not saying that the following hadith is sahih. However, a lot of the scholars have narrated it as a form of reminder. And the meaning of this hadith is true and correct. There was a man at the time of the Prophet ﷺ whom the companions brought, and he was dying. And they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, this man, he goes out to jihad and prays with us and does everything that we do. However, his soul has reached his rukul here, and he's gurgling, and he's been agony and pain. He's not going out, nor is he living. So the Prophet ﷺ said, has he got a mother? They said, yes. He said, call her to me. So they called his mother. And when she came to him, the Prophet ﷺ asked her, how do you feel towards your son? And she said, I am not pleased with him. He asked her why. She said, because he puts his wife before me. He puts his wife before me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, forgive your son. It is because of you that he is going through this pain. She said, no. So then he told Bilal to go and get some wood He got the wood and he lit it up with fire. And then he said, get me his body. I want to burn him in this fire. The mother then went up and screamed, said, Ya Rasulullah, faladatu kabidi. He's from my flesh, from myself. How could you burn my son? And he said, if you do not forgive him, then Allah will torment him in the fire in the hereafter. So then the mother said, I forgive him and I forgive him. The Prophet ﷺ said, go Ya Bilal, check whether he has died. He returned back and said, he has now died. And then when the Prophet went and they buried him, he stood on the head of his grave and he said to the people, مَنْ آثَرَ امْرَأَتَهُ عَلَىٰ أُمِّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ. Whoever puts his wife in front of his mother, then may the curse of Allah be upon them. Nobody can reach the virtue of the mother. And Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, Ya Rasulullah, who has more right in obedience against the wife? And he said, her husband. She said, then who is the one with the greatest obedience against the husband? Well, if the man is the one to obey as a wife, if he is of course just and a mu'min, then who has the right against the man before anyone else? And he said, his mother. His mother. No one can put anything before the mother or the father. And this is when a man asked the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, who has the greatest right to get right against me? He said, Ummuk, your mother. Thumma man, then who? He said, Ummuk. He said, then who? He said, then Ummuk. Three times. He said, then who? He said, Thumma abak. Then your father. So if a person, we approach him, and there is a matter before him, his wife asks something of him, but he knows that it displeases his mother. What should he do? If you say to me, I don't know, my mother or my wife, my mother or my wife, then I will say to you, Ummuk, 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 three times. Never place your mother and your wife on the same scale. Never. Your wife has other rights, but not before your mother and not before your father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When Luqman, the Prophet, was advising his son, and he said to his son, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنُشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. And we have reminded people to remember their parents in goodness. His mother carried him, agony upon agony, stress upon stress and pain upon pain when he was in her stomach. And then for 2 whole years in breastfeeding and nurturing. So thank me and thank your parents. Allah then says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. But if they command you to make partners with me in that which does not concern you, then do not obey them. Only in that manner, brothers and sisters, do we not obey our parents. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to any single being if it means disobeying Allah. So if you're, for example, sitting there, and then your mother or father call you, and they say, oh son, come watch this, look at this fashion parade that's now being held on television. Look at the women how they're doing their catwalk. Isn't that cute? Then if you obey them, then you have not only disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have also disobeyed your parents. How? By assisting them in that which is haram. But rather, how should you address them, my dear brothers and sisters? In your addressing of them, it must be also lenient, kind and respectful, even if they were disobeying Allah and calling you to do the bad things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, even if they were kuffar, even if they they were disbelievers. This is in the Quran. Allah says, وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Do not obey them in making partners with Allah. However, accompany them in life in that which is kind and reasonable. Even if they were kuffar, disbelievers, Jews, Christians, hypocrites, whatever, atheists, devil worshippers, whatever you want. Do not obey them or assist them in that which is haram. However, accompany them in that which is kind and reasonable. Now, so what about the parents who are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? صَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You come up to them and they say, my mother, my father, I respect you and you are my parents. And I am ashamed to come and tell you something like this, for you have taught me and you have raised me. Please do not feel offended if I tell you such a thing. Yes, you have to make an introduction, brothers and sisters. Take your time. Make that introduction. They deserve it. It is worthy of them. You have nurtured me and looked after me. And whatever I do in my life, I can never repay you for what favors you have done for me. However, my parents, you have also taught me this. That if I see you doing something haram, then I must care for you. I do not want to see you being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to be with me in Jannah. So I remind you, my parents, with that which you have reminded me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this haram. And I hope that inshaAllah you can leave it. And then you kiss them and say, I apologize if I have hurt your feelings. And say to them, so please excuse me if I cannot sit with you. And walk away. Let them say whatever they want to say, brothers and sisters. I doubt if they will return back to you and say anything bad. But if you come back, and you forget the times when you were disobedient to Allah, and you've just, for example, grown your beard and become nice and religious or worn your hijab, and you treat your parents and come up to them and say, as though you are their king, and say, that's enough. All you've done is tell me to do sins and sins. All you want to do is worship the shaitan. I am innocent from you, as some of them do. And some of them say, Tsuha alaykum. Which means like poo on you, in other words. And I've heard this with my own ears. Or some of them who even bash their parents. Wallahi al-azim. That one lady, one woman, she called up, she's a mother, about 50 years old, crying on the phone, ya akhwan. And she said, I'm crying because our son, we need someone to speak to him. Wallah, we love him. We love him, and we do everything for him. However, he bashes us and he hits us. He swears at us. And now he wants to throw us out of our home, and this is a Muslim. No. Never. This is something extremely shameful and disobedient to Allah. You will not enter paradise if you are such a person. You are nothing but a beast then, and worse than a beast. Because even animals, they respect their mothers, and the mothers nurture their own children. There are three conditions to the way you must treat your parents. You must put your mother and your father's pleasure, meaning that their pleasure, for them to be pleased, you must put it before anyone else, even before yourself. That's the first condition of obedience. Meaning, if there is a matter that pleases you, and a matter that displeases your mother or your father, then you must do it against yourself to please your mother or father, even if it means agony and pain towards you. Because when they were looking after you when you were a child, they were going through pain and agony and sickness, just in order so that you can get a good life. And they worked and strived and struggled. And the mother prevented herself from entertaining herself and having the pleasure of life with good food and wealth and buying clothing for herself in order to sacrifice for yourself. And your father who spent his wealth to teach you what you know now and to raise you to what you have now. When they were there and you were a child, they looked after you when you were completely weak. And now you must just assist them a little bit when they still have a bit of strength. I recall a little story of one man. He was trying to argue with his wife. And he said to her, they came in front of the sheikh. And each one of them, they were claiming that the child is theirs. So the husband said to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, or Ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab, he is my child because I carried him before she carried him. And so she replied and said, you carried him with ease without ever feeling it. And I carried it in pain and agony. for 9 months. So then the father, the husband said, well, I am the one who delivered him before she delivered him. Right? And then she replied to him, you delivered him out of temptation and lust, and I delivered him out of agony and pain. So Ibn Umar said, he is your child. In other words, the point being, the mother before the father, but without forgetting the father, and the mother goes through a lot of pain when you do not know and you have forgotten. You put them before yourselves, because your mother's foot is above your head. Now, your mother's shoe is above your head. And beware of ever placing, as I said, other people before them. And say also to your wife, for example, or to any other person, and I say the wife here because, my dear sisters, this is a lesson for you to learn, because I fear for you. And I advise you as a brother, because I want you to enter Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive you and make you enter Jannah. So obey Him by doing this. And her husband, with your iman and your proper leadership, without oppressing your wife, say to her from the beginning with that which is the best, like a loving parent, like a loving person to her. Because she has left her father, so you must advise her like a father. And she has left her mother, so you must nurture her and look after her like a mother. And she has left her brother, so you must be towards her with your ghira like her brother. Say to her from the beginning, oh my wife, you and I can never enter paradise without my mother and father being pleased with me. Because I can never enter paradise without my mother or father being pleased with me. And if you displease my mother or father, then I will be displeased with you. And you will not enter paradise, nor will I. Now, my sisters, look after this. Do not displease your husband's parents. Similarly, O husband, do not displease your mother, your wife's parents either, because you will lose your respect. But before that, the father, the husband, is responsible for his parents forever. And he's also responsible for you, a wife of his. Do not displease his mother or father, because he will become displeased with you, and then both of you won't enter paradise. And this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talks about one of the signs of the last hour, of the children becoming the kings and masters of their own parents. He said, "Antalidul amatu rabbataha." There will come a time when the mother will give birth to her own child, and that daughter will grow up to be like a master against her mother. He said, "Fartaqibu as-sa'a." Then await for the last hour to come. Today, the daughter or the son come from school or from university, acting so intellectual and so educated. After their parents, without them, they wouldn't have got this education. And they come back to their mother and father. Good morning, my mother. I am educated. But without them, you have not reached this position. The daughter cannot touch the dishes because she's got homework to do. The son has got some cars to look for to sell. He's got to save up his money because he's got to get married. The father asks him for $100. Oof, dad, you've lived your life, let me live mine. And this is disobedient to them and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should serve your parents while they are reclining on bed. You should wash their feet and massage them. And you must assist them in everything of your might and your ability. Otherwise, the same thing will happen to you when you get married. And you will not be blessed in your education or your wealth if this is what you think. There are many hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ, which the scholars have talked about, that whoever disobeys their parents, they will live a life of misery. And I've seen it with my own eyes, uqsimu billah, that many people have lived a life of misery. Many of the men who left their parents because of a woman whom they loved, and they go and live very far away from their parents and move away far away. They try to change their home numbers so their parents could not get in contact with them because they're afraid that their parents might ask them for something. And then they try to hide their wealth. And they lie to their parents about how much savings they have. And they abandon their parents, and little do they see them and look after them. They live a life of misery, and many of them end up divorced. Abadan. And I have seen with my own eyes, and Allah is my witness, brothers and sisters, of brothers and sons and daughters who have obeyed their parents throughout their lives, and they are living such a beautiful life. And some of them are poor, yet wallahi al-azim, I wish that I could be in their life. I wish that I could feel the same happiness which they are feeling. They live in happiness and tranquility, ayyuha al-ahibba, and this is a reward. The second condition towards your obedience to your parents is to obey them in everything, whether you like it or not, so long as it is not a sin or it is out of your ability. Whether you like it or not, you must obey them. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I want to go out into jihad with you. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, do you have two parents? He said, yes, I have parents. He said, have you asked them for permission to go out to jihad? Jihad. Fi sabilillah. And he said, yes. He said, how did they respond to it? He said, I left them crying over them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed him and said to him, return back and make them laugh the same way that you made them cry. So the parents are the people who we must make happy. Did they not look after us when we were children? And then we reward them with this type of harshness and this type of calamity towards them. We meet them and we bash them. We slam the doors out of disobedience to them. We slam the cups down onto the tray because we are displeased with something they said. The mother tells you, my son, don't follow this way. It's bad for you, son. I want the best for you. And you stamp your feet away and say, mother, what are you saying to me? Stop agonizing me with this. Or father, stop talking to me and lecturing me all the time. And all they want is the best for you. Another condition is that you also present whatever you feel that they are desiring. Like you look at them and you sense that they want something. Without asking them, go and get it for them. This is out of obedience to them. There was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who never used to eat until his mother had finished. And he was a companion who was known to have never eaten together with his own mother on the same plate. So some of them started to talk about him and say, what's wrong with him? He doesn't want to even eat with his own mother on the same plate. And when they asked him, he said to them, because if I eat on the same plate, I fear that I may reach out to something which my mother had her eye on and she would not tell me, because she has so much mercy. Another companion, once his mother called out to him, and then he replied so that he can make her hear, and he said, Na'am, not intending to raise his voice. And when he noticed that his voice had been raised above his mother's voice, he went and he bought two slaves and freed them because of what he had done. Another companion noticed that he had displeased his mother or his mother because of something. So he would not leave her all night until he placed his cheek on the ground and he told her, step on my other cheek, mother. Abadan. The scholar said, even when you look sharply into your father or mother's eyes, you have disobeyed them. When you raise your voice, you have disobeyed them. When you signal with your hands in anger, you have disobeyed them. And so on, and so on. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And now if I bring the stories of the companions and the predecessors, we'll become exposed. We'll feel ashamed of ourselves. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, when he would ever leave home or come to home, he would always stand at the door of his mother's house. And then he would say to her, As-salamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu ya ummah. And then she would say, Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu ya bunay. And then he would say, May Allah give mercy upon you, O mother, the same way you gave mercy upon me when I was a child. And then she would say, and may Allah give mercy upon you because you have obeyed me. Always. What a beautiful life between them. Aisha radiallahu anha says, the most obedient of the companions of the Prophet whom we knew towards their mothers were Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and Haritha ibn Nu'man. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, who could never look his mother straight in the eye, ever. From the time he became a Muslim until he died, his mother could never have recalled the time when he would approach her and talk to her, he would look her straight into the eye. But he would look down to the ground and address her in humiliation. As for Al-Harith ibn al-Nu'man, then he used to feed his mother with his hands. And she said, I do not remember a time from when Al-Harith became a Muslim until he died, me ever eating food with my own hands. He would always feed me with his own hands. And he would never ask his mother to clarify herself when she was saying something to him. So if she said something to him, and let's say a word was mumbled, and he could not understand it, he would never ask her to repeat herself until she left. And then he would ask someone, like her brother or someone who was sitting, and then he would ask them politely, did you understand what my mother said? And then he would explain to him, and then he would carry it out. SubhanAllah. Complete obedience. Hujr ibn Adi, one of the past predecessors, whenever his mother would come to lie on her bed, he would race to the bed every night, and then he would feel the bed with his palms, so to see whether there is anything sharp, so she will not harm herself with it. But then sometimes he would blame the thickness of his palm. He would think, because my palm is thick, I could not feel it. So he would lie down on it, on his back, on his bare back, and then he would place his cheek and start to rub it on the mattress all the way through to make sure that there is no sharp element, even if it were to cut him, before she slept on her bed. Another companion, he said, me and my brother, we spent one night with our mother. Actually, one night, my brother was praying night prayer, and my mother had a sickness in her hands. And this type of sickness required a certain type of treatment, which required hours of massaging and putting into some kind of medicine. He said, my brother was praying all night and I was treating my mother's hand all night. And I say, with my knowledge, and they were scholars, he said, wallahi, my night is far more advanced in the eyes of Allah than the night of my brother praying to Allah. Now, and this is voluntary prayer, by the way. If you are even praying a voluntary prayer, brother or sister, and then your mother or father called out to you, it is incumbent upon you to stop your prayer and reply to them. If it is a voluntary prayer. A voluntary prayer. Not a farad prayer. You must leave your prayer, stop, say salamu alaykum, and reply to them. Otherwise you will have disobeyed them. And if the mother or father made a da'wah, a supplication against you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept it. Now, I recall a story back at Lebanon, when I was back in Lebanon. There was a mother who I knew personally. And her son, who was about 14 or 15, he would never listen to her. Everything she'd say to him, he'd be, you know, rebellious against it. And I always warned her, be careful with what you say. But in Lebanon, the women, you know, the mothers, they, even here, they sometimes say da'wahs against their children without noticing themselves saying it. They don't really mean it, but they say it. And she said, I ask Allah that one day a man will bring you to me holding you, and you have been run over by a car, and three bones of your body have been broken. Guess what? About a month later, it happened. It happened. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not disobey your parents. For one of the da'wahs that are accepted are the parents' da'wah against you. He also says, do not supplicate against your wealth or yourself or your children or your parents. Or your wives, for maybe it may be a time where Allah is accepting a supplication and He will accept it. So beware with your supplications, brothers and sisters. Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, his mother once as I said, called out to him. I've already said this. The closeness, brothers and sisters, of the parents is better than being farther away from them and donating from your wealth and assisting them financially. For you to be close to them is more appreciated to them than you being far away from them and spending on them from your wealth. Abada, the closeness towards them is the most important thing to your mother and father, brothers and sisters. Beware of them dying when they are displeased with you. There were three men once in the cave, and this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when they slept in this cave, a bad weather came, and then a large stone, a large rock came and covered their way. When they woke up to leave, the cave was blocked off. And then they saw each other and they gathered each other and they said, let's ask Allah with the good deeds that we have done in our life so that He can save us. So the first man said, oh Allah, there was a bint Am, like my first cousin, whom I used to like, but I could not marry her. I wanted her in the haram. And she used to look after orphans and she was righteous. One day she asked me to help her financially to look after the orphans. And so I said to her, I will not give you this wealth until you do haram with me alone. She tried to plead with him, but in the end, she was in need, desperately in need. And then they came into the room, and then she said a word to me. She said to me, oh my first cousin, ittaqillah, fear Allah. And as soon as she said this, I felt agony and pain in my heart and tremor. And I lost all senses and I left out of fear for you. Oh Allah, if you know that I left this bad action because I feared you, then release us from this cave. And then the stone opened up just a little bit, a small gap, but it wasn't enough for them to escape. The second person, he said, oh Allah, I used to work for a farmer. Sorry, I was a farmer. And then one man who used to work for me. And then he planted seeds of olive trees and others. And then he left. He left without me paying him his wage. After 10 years, my plantation grew and I made a lot of profit, 10 times as much. And then the man came back to me, asking me for his wage. And then because I did not give him his wage, it went on. From his mouth and his money, my plantation grew and I made profit out of his own wealth. So in other words, from his wealth, I made more money. Because he was a partner to me in that way, I gave him all of the land for free. Oh Allah, if you know that I have done this out of faith towards you, then save us. And the rock was open just a little bit, but still not enough. And then finally the third pious man said, oh Allah, I had old parents. And these old parents, they asked me for a drop for a bit of milk. So I went and got their milk. But when I arrived, I found that they had gone to sleep. So I stayed standing beside their bed. And my children, they were crying for the milk, but I did not give them. And I stood all night waiting for them to wake up because I did not want to wake them up and cause them displeasure, until when they woke up in the morning, I gave them the milk and they drank it, and then I gave my children and my family. Oh Allah, if you know that I did this out of faith towards you and honor and respect towards my parents, then save us. And then the Rabb bi'idhnillah opened and they were saved. And this is Sahih Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. The treatment, my dear brothers and sisters, towards our parents is far beyond any of our imaginations. And I know a lot of the youth here do not understand why. However, when you think about the way that they have been treating you when you were young, and the way that you are treating them now, they looked after you when you were totally in need of them and when you had no physical ability. And today, you must look after them when they have a bit of strength, not the same way as when they looked after you when you were young. At all. How do we want to reward our parents today, brothers and sisters? And then, especially obey them when they reach that old age. Especially when they reach that old age and their white hair has grown on them and you see their back has arched and you see them sitting in front of you and they look at you like the look of a poor orphan that is waiting for it from you, a piece of bread or a piece of clothing or a piece of food, and they ask you, oh son, give me something so that I may survive on. Wallahi, we have not rewarded them in favor of what they have done for us, oh brothers and sisters. Wallahi, we have not even rewarded them with an ash, a word, or an atom's worth of what they have done towards us. A man came to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and he said to him, Ya Umar, I carried my mother on my back in Hajj and I went all around the Tawaf and then I came back to Medina. Have I given back the right of my grandmother? And he said, wallahi, he had not even repaid her the single contraction which she had when she was giving birth to you. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْنَا كَبِيرًا. The honor and the virtue against us is very, very enormous. And my dear brothers and sisters, do not feel selfish or be selfish towards your parents and your wealth. Your father comes up to you and says to you, my son, give me $100. So you give it to him. And then he asks you again, give me another 100. You give it to him. The third time he asks you for another 100. And then you go, far out. Abadan. You should not say that. Rather, you should say, if you are desperate and you don't have enough wealth, then say to your father, oh my father, wallah, if I were able to sell myself in order to give you this money, I would have. But I cannot. So have mercy upon my weakness and my poverty, which I am now encountering. And when I do that, wallahi, I will give it to you, oh my father. That way your father will say, may Allah be pleased with you, my son. And he'll make a dua for you and say, oh Allah, grant him and provide him. And you'll live a prosperous life, inshaAllah. Look at yourselves and see, if you are miserable in your life, if there are calamities happening to you in your life, if there are wrong things going on, your business is failing, your marital life is wrong, your children are disobeying you, then remind yourself, revise. Have you disobeyed your parents lately? Have you said that to them oof lately? Have you looked at them sharply into their eyes lately? Have you stamped your feet away in anger lately? Have you signaled to them with your hand out of anger lately? What have you done? Maybe that's a result of it, brothers and sisters. And this is what's most important after the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ended finally by reminding that although our parents have rights against us, and their right is so great, which can never be forgotten, I would like to talk just briefly about some of the parents to not also at the same time forget their rights, again, forget their children's rights against them. And when I say this, brothers and sisters, you are not allowed to go back home and use this against your parents to get back at them, for you have disobeyed them. And you are degraded in the eyes of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you are shepherds and you have a flock, and every shepherd is responsible for their own flock. فَالْأَبُ رَاعٍ وَمَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. So the father is a shepherd and he has his flock, his wife and his children and his parents. So let them look after them and be responsible. وَالْأُمُّ رَاعِيَةٌ. And the woman is a shepherd and she has her own flock, her children and her husband, and she must look after them. And you are a ra'i, you are a shepherd, and you have your own flock. It is either yourself or whatever you may do. فَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. All of you have a responsibility, and all of you are accountable for that which you are responsible about. The parents, some of them, they complain. Why is my child disobeying me? Why are my children listening to music and following the way of the West and going out and drinking alcohol and hanging around with the wrong crowd and not praying and not fasting? Why are they swearing? Why are they and why are they? Some of the parents, not all of them. You must revise. How have you raised your children? Have you given them their right? No, it's not enough. For you, okay, you've spent some of your wealth, which is good, to put them in a religious school, for example, or to get a religious teacher to teach them. But my dear brothers and sisters, oh parents, sadly, this is not enough. There is no more greater discipline than the effect which the parents can have towards their children. The father must treat his children well and respect them when they grow old as a friend, and advise them as Luqman advised his son, and take advice from that. As Luqman says, وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيْهِ. He says, oh my son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Do not disobey Allah, do not make partners with Allah. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. It is a great oppression. And then he would say to him, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not walk out of pride and arrogance. guidance in the land. إنك لن تبلغ إنك لن تخرج الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. You can never go deep into the ground or beat up my mountains. In other words, you are only a feeble human being. Be humble. And so on and so on. He says, ولا تصعد خدك للناس. And do not turn your face away from people out of pride. And remember that you have been created from a sperm and came out from the place where urine comes out from twice. Once from your father and then once from your mother. Yes, you must explain to your children why things are forbidden and why things are commanded. Why things are good for them and why things are bad for them. And I recall my dear, dear father, who I owe so much gratitude to. And I never cease to mention his gratitude which he has upon me. Wallahi, I can never repay my father or mother, brothers and sisters. The one who raised me and taught everything that I know today. He used to take me out when he used to make deliveries in his work, deliberately so that he could talk to me like a friend. And he would take me sometimes past places where he could see, excuse me for saying this, prostitute and homosexuals and people who are drunk and so on. And he would say to me, son, this is what happens to people who go astray. Son, this is what alcohol is. Son, this is what homosexuality is. Son, this is what fornication is. This is how they do it. This is how they experience it. Son, this is what happens to so-and-so. Son, oh son, he taught me before my teachers at school taught me. The Western teachers, their way. And whenever any other person taught me about, for example, excuse me for saying this, taught me about sex, taught me about homosexuality, taught me about alcohol, taught me about drugs, taught me about, I would have also already learnt it from my father. And remember, العلم في الصغر كالنقش في الحجر. As a famous saying is said, this is correct. Teaching your children at a young age is like carving into a rock. When you carve into a rock, nothing can make that carve go away. Abadan. As the Prophet ﷺ says, علموا أولادكم الصلاة وهم أبناء سبع. Teach your children prayer when they are at 7 years old. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءَ عَشْرٍ. And then punish them for not praying when they are 10 years old. Slowly. And you teach them at a young age. And why not? Have a birthday for them. Well, it's not really a birthday. Have a party for them when they turn the age of 7. And bring his friends along, or her friends along. Get them some prizes and presents. Have a nice moment for them, which they could remember. Because, you see, that child at 7 years old would never remember that day when he turned 7. The reason why his father did a party for him or her is because they were ready to be learnt how to pray, to be taught how to pray. And then when they reach the age of 10, make another party for them and teach them the hadith on that day to punish your children when they do not pray. So when they turn 10, they know that they have now become responsible. And they have now moved on to a second stage. Gather their friends and this time take them to the mosque. If he is a son, then take them and let him meet the imam. To you it may not seem like a big thing, but the imam standing in front of that young boy, he will look at him, the young boy, and he will remember that, he will always remember that that rejoiceful and honorable moment. The imam with all his piety and his honor standing in front of me, he shook my hand, making me responsible and go on to the next stage. Buy him or her a watch. So they can follow the prayer at times. Let them win your heart, mother and father. Let them win your heart. Don't let them feel as though you are dictators, oppressors. This is what a true leader is. Let them win your heart. Let them love you. So that when they cry, when you hit them and they cry, I've seen this with my own eyes. Some fathers and mothers, they have won the hearts of their children. So when they actually hit them, they spank them for something which they have done, and they cry, you know what they do? Usually they run away. They hug them. They hug them and they cry. They hug them because they want them to forgive them. You've won them if you can do that. I ended here, brothers and sisters. And wallahi, we can spend nights and nights talking about the rights of our parents and the honor of them. But I fear that I may fall and burst into cries and weeping. But I'd like to end it by saying that But some people ask me, well, what if my parents are dead? What do I do for them? A companion asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, my parents are dead. How can I, do I still have to obey them? He said, yes, your obedience to them is by asking Allah, supplicating for them in goodness, visiting those visiting their friends, and visiting their relatives, and visiting their cousins, and being good to them the same way you were good to your own parents. Even if you did not like them, brothers and sisters, you have to connect the family ties that are connected to your parents, whether you like it or not. And it's a major sin to cut off those ties. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once talking to an old woman. And she was very old. And the reason why he was talking to her, and he gave a gift to a tribe. And Aisha radiallahu anha asked him, why are you giving those gifts to that tribe? He said, that is the tribe that assisted my wife Khadija, and she's from them. Sorry, that is the tribe of my mother. And I must connect the family tie. So you must honor and respect the people, the friends of your father and the friends of your mother. Do not forget that, brothers and sisters. They have a right against you with that. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I thank you for listening, brothers and sisters. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.